from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
Everybody, we are live.
Are you guys grinding or are you guys having fun?
We're having fun.
And here's the controversy. Listen, we love fun, right?
Spend some time with our friends Danny Parkins and Matt Spiegel.
Yes.
I'd want to be nowhere else but here.
Parkins and Spiegel, they're amazing. Are they?
Yeah, but are they?
I go on the score and talk with Matt and Danny.
Yeah, Danny Parkins, one of the old timers.
Sometimes says this is the show where things happen.
It's a disgusting way to do talk radio.
Danny and Matt do an excellent job.
A little too much Parkins.
We can erase it from the FCC.
Strange twists and turns on the Parkins and Spiegel Show.
I don't know what's going on with any of it.
We're the show where things happen.
Everybody, Ice Cube!
Cube, thank you for answering our text and putting up with our ridiculousness.
Anytime.
Bob Odenkirk.
How are you guys doing?
Mark Wahlberg's here.
Chicago, we love you, baby. Come on.
Shane, wake up. Tanny, we got to have another little taste because Spiggs is here. Huh? 5 o'clock somewhere.
Every time I come on this show, old school great radio.
Johnny B.
I'm riveted to the score. It's the last bastion of talk radio.
I mean, you guys are the best team in Chicago. Everybody knows that.
Parkins and Spiegel, these guys are going to be incredible and amazing. And they started talking over my promo for them at the beginning of the show. And here we go, Jim. Tony! Oh, Jim, we can start the show right now.
Coming to you live on a beautiful day. From Pat Hughes' Hall of Fame booth at Wrigley Field, it is the Parkins and Spiegel Show. We'll have Mark Grody do a Bears report on a busy day at Halas Hall. Coming up in about 15 minutes, Spiegs not the way the Cubs wanted or needed to start this second half, man.
The day was exquisite. It remains exquisite. The baseball was bad. 13 strikeouts, 10 left on base. I know there were some umpire calls that were frustrating. There were some low exit velocity grounders off of Justin Steele that went through at different times, etc. But my goodness, just some really bad baseball. You know what I can't stop thinking about, Danny? I can't stop thinking about Seiya Suzuki getting deked by Gabriel Moreno between first and second. Moreno does the thing. It's a little league thing.
Yeah.
Where you kind of stop and you wait for the right fielder to be freaked out and throw to first, and then he broke for second. And if you watch the replay of that, at that moment, Justin Steele is pointing to first base. He's pointing to first, or excuse me, he's pointing to second base.
Yeah.
That's where the throw is supposed to go. And Seiya throws to first. And I found myself thinking they should fire the interpreter again. You know what I mean?
They already did.
I mean, how many times can you fire the interpreter? But just bad baseball. And Seiya's done that to Steele a couple of times. Steele wasn't great, but he wasn't awful. In terms of the quality of that contact.
He wasn't. I mean, that's a lot of hits to give up, man. I know it was a lot of singles, but they had the pitching advantage today. That guy, Ryan Nelson, 9 strikeouts. He made him look silly early.
That guy's given up 26 earned runs in his 10 starts, or excuse me, in his 8 starts leading into this game.
Yeah, this dropped his ERA finally below 5.
Oh, yeah. Just absolutely brutal. And I mean, you got Miles Mastroboni taking big time, high leverage at bats. at this point in the season with your vaunted farm system, it's still Miles Mastroboni taking big hits like that. Just an incredibly frustrating way to start the second half and to start a crucial six-game homestand, a crucial 10-game stretch here before the deadline.
And we could talk. You could talk about the umpiring stuff. Sure, it's fine. And I know Council did post-game, and we might play a little bit of Coom here in a minute from during the game. But like, pick up Willie Harris. Michael Bush.
Oh, horrible base running.
Pick up your third base coach who is waving. And again, it wasn't going to matter. That one run was not the difference in winning or losing. But it's about – it could have been a one-run game.
That could have made it a two-run game in the ninth instead of a three-run game.
Yeah.
Where your approach is completely different.
As home run dependent. Sure.
And you're not needing a three-run homer to tie it from Saya at the end of the game. It's just a bloop and a blast situation. And could have changed things.
It's just basic baseball, right? Like it was a weird play. It barely gets through the infield. Guy gets a glove on it, but why are you looking back?
Yeah,
because he was running on contact with two outs. He started it totally fine, but then he hits third base and he looks back for the ball and he just I didn't see it originally, but on the replay, Willie Harris is doing exactly what he does. He comes halfway down the line and he's looking to at the ball to see it get through. It gets through. He's waving him the whole time, and Bush is looking back over his shoulder.
Look, there's a million things to point at, but when you don't have a superstar, you got to make plays like that, and you got to not give up an extra base like Saya did, because then Moreno scored on a single right after that.
Yeah.
So it's like you give up extra bases, you don't take the extra base. Without a superstar, you have to do those things well to win games, and they haven't really done that all year.
That base running one isn't even really an extra base. Like, he's running on contact with two outs. You know what I mean? Like, the ball gets to the outfield, you score.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you should score 100% of the time, right, on that play. That is just a straight up mental error.
It's a weird one because it just barely gets through.
And then
the second baseman Marte picks it up. But to your point, it doesn't matter if it just barely gets through. You should be sprinting your ass off on contact. Absolutely.
Yeah, just didn't look at your base coach. Like, he was sprinting on contact, but then he assumed one base because of the contact of the play instead of just checking your base coach to see what he did.
Yeah.
It was very, very sloppy. And again, like, one game feels like more than that. Coming out of the break, how you played going into the break, the opponent that you're playing, and 9 games now until the deadline.
You backed yourself into a spot where you have to have, what, a 5-1 homestand? I mean, you have a 4-2 homestand here. You're still questioning whether it's good enough. And then you go to Kansas City after that for three, and then you've got one against Cincinnati.
They'll take 4-2.
Yeah, they'll take it. They'll take it, and I'd probably find a way to feel okay about it, especially if it's a sweep of Milwaukee, because then all of a sudden you'd be closer in the division, even if you lose 2 out of 3 here to Arizona. But this is, as you said, the pitching matchup was dominant. The fact that you've got Steele for 2 games on this homestand, 1 game in each of those series.
And tomorrow's Hendricks Gallen, right? So it's the. I mean, obviously, I know Hendricks was good the last outing, and he's rebounded nicely.
But it's the opposite.
But it's the exact opposite for tomorrow, and again, puts extra weight on it. I don't have this number in front of me. I apologize for that. But like, it feels like they've lost the first game of the series 90% of the time for the last 2 months. Like, it. Because teams do really look at that, right? Like, on the first day of the series,
sure,
they have a hitter's meeting. They plan for the relief pitchers, and they try, just win series. I'll look it up during the break.
I'll be interested to know, because
it feels like they've lost game one of 8 of the last 10 series, and that is just purely anecdotal. I have no idea if that is true.
All right, a couple
but
things.
It feels just, like that is the case.
Got it. You're a baseball guy now. Congratulations.
I'm just saying.
I love it.
Every time I'm like, well, they've got to now win 2 in a row to have a shot at winning the series.
So much
every
good
single
stuff.
Time.
It's there's so much good stuff in there. It's a stat that feels true. I don't know if it is. We could look it up. By the time this segment ends, nobody will probably look back.
Yeah, Shane's looking it up.
Thank you, Shane. That's one thing. The other thing is the feel. feeling of losing that first game, is that representative of organizational preparation, perhaps? And, oh, by the way, the soft factor of, well, we lost the first game. That sucks. Let's try and rally for the second one. Having that feeling every time? I'm going to give you my stat that I don't know the answer to.
Great.
Okay, you ready?
God, love this. Well, see, here, and here's the thing, like, to the audience. The audience is saying, you guys are professionals.
We are.
You guys get paid to do this. It's true. But we were in the suite with a bunch of listeners today having a great time watching the game.
Yes.
So that's what we were doing.
Yeah, absolutely true. So and it was a delight. I feel like Christopher Morel is down 0-2 more than any hitter in baseball. I feel like that guy goes down 0-2 immediately in every at-bat that he has. And so is that true? I don't know. But it sure as hell feels true. And he was down 0-2, even in that crucial at-bat where he worked it back to 2-2. And then the awful call happened that, you know, that counsel and everyone is correct to reference. That call was horrific.
It was what, 6 inches low?
Sure.
Probably.
But on 3-2, on 3-2 with the funky righty out there with the crazy slider, do you really think Morel's going to do anything on the 3-2 slider just off the edge that's coming?
I know. Probably not. You're listening to WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago, and Odyssey Sports Station. Just you're right. Like, probably not, but you don't. When you blame the umpires, it's usually a losing proposition, and you're really just deflecting.
I mean, that's
normally how that goes.
And it might have been that at 3-2, Thompson is the funky righty. Maybe he throws a ball, and it's a walk, and the inning rolls on. You know?
So sure.
That's entirely possible.
It all matters.
It all matters, and it all changes. It's a weird game. It's a funky. Baseball is a funny game. It is, and little things like that mean an awful lot, and they can change things, but you've got to control what you can. And the Michael Bush base running play that you point out, and the Seiya Suzuki getting deked by a freaking catcher to give up an extra base,
just sloppy.
Oh, while his own pitcher is standing on the mound pointing to second base, and you're wondering about the frustration that that some might have towards Seiya. They've said the right things all year long, but man, my God, he's been a mess out there in right. I'll be shocked if he's playing right field tomorrow.
Let's hear what Ron Coomer was talking about during the game in terms of his frustrations and the consistent disagreements with the umpire.
Ian questioning Alfonso Marquez. Just a little brief comment. An opinion is usually what they offer. Here's the 0-1. And that's down low for a ball, 1-1. As it to say, that really did look a little outside. Right? Just my opinion, saying.
Sometimes it's an opinion. Sometimes it might be a little stronger than that.
Give us an example, Ron. Here comes the 1-1 pitch on the way, fouled away. What was one of your favorite things to say to an umpire when you were almost sure that he had just missed a pitch? Can you repeat it on Cubs radio?
Beep, beep.
I think that answers our question. Now, back to the story. Here's the 1-2 to Ian Happ. Swing and a foul back.
Something along the lines of, I really didn't think that was a strike, sir.
Oh, did you say sir?
Maybe not.
I'm guessing the sir was not even part of the equation. A ball and two strikes on Happ. Bub, yes. Sir, no. Fastball is taken high, 2-2.
Man, at least they were having a good time. Those men are a delight, and we are sitting right now in their wake, in their spots, with the great Paul Zwerang.
That's an excellent Zackle also. That was very, very strong. So this is all, every series this year, right, Shane? Okay, so they've played 31 series, and they've lost game one 18 of the 31 series. So
13-18.
So 13-18. But.
What did you throw out there? You said 8 of the last 10.
And I nailed that.
You did? You really?
Yeah. So This is counting this one, right? So that they lost this one, they lost the St. Louis series, then the two before that, Baltimore and LA, they won, and then the six before that they lost. So that's pretty crazy.
All right, so
eight of the last ten series,
you nailed that to the wall.
Going back to the White Sox series that they swept.
Congratulations.
I mean, I pulled it out of somewhere. But
your patootie.
Yeah, but I'm just.
I think that's what he's referencing, don't you guys?
So it's. I mean,
absolutely. It's a good resource for a talk radio host. By the way, being in the Zach chair, I immediately find you guys funnier.
That's good.
Chris Tannehill.
That's very
in
valuable.
The Zach chair. Shane is in the. Where are you, Shane? What would you call that area?
Man, what impact do you think that has on something?
Oh my God, on the psychology of like, oh, we're about to lose another series.
But look at the first half. Yeah. The vast majority of the first month and a half of the season,
sure,
they were playing the series from out in front.
And then there was this stretch they hadn't won a series in it's brutal. I think it has a big psychological effect. I think it's an interesting theory that it might have something to do with your organizational structure and your game planning, because I've always attributed, you know, goodness to them on that front.
I don't even know. I'm just saying I know that we've talked to enough
baseball point, because you don't even really know.
Well, no, but I'm saying, thank you. That sounded a little condescending.
No,
that's
it's not
a shot. It's a testament to baseball and its cruelty.
Thank you, Tanny. Danny took it as a shot, as
what?
Is his
no
wonk.
Way.
I know. I got to work on
that's
it.
That's his move.
I'm working on it.
It was about the overall baseball discourse and this being a funny game.
It is a very, very funny game.
And by funny, it's really frustrating and annoying, and I hate it.
Yeah, exactly.
And I also love it.
It's true. Yeah.
Good night, everybody.
Yeah, it's fine.
Well, yeah, you haven't acquired the love it part yet.
Love, hate, but like. It's more hate love.
Yeah. Hate like.
There's a lot. And every time we do the show from here, yes. I marvel at the booth.
Exquisite.
I look at the building that I was brought home from the hospital at 3740 over there. It's so cool. It's so
what
nostalgic.
Was the injury?
No. With my birth, Shane.
Oh,
birth.
Birth.
He had his spleen removed.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay. That makes a lot more sense.
It was elective. It was weird.
God. The L flag. I don't like the L flag.
Oh, the L flag.
They got to do away with the L flag.
Radio losers.
You can't have that.
I don't like it. Fly the W and then you ignore when you lose. You don't need to advertise to the neighborhood that you lost.
Typical Cub fan, dude.
Yeah, seriously.
Typical Cub fan.
I don't like the L flag.
I hate that about us Cub fans.
It's just
that's a good way to go through life, just ignoring the losses.
Just ignore. You don't. The players should feel it.
Yeah,
dude, you gotta advertise to the neighborhood by flag that you lost. What is it, 1962?
But there's a very rich Cubs fan that lives across the street that doesn't own a phone and wants to know if the Cubs won or lost today.
It's just ridiculous.
Look, here's the deal. This is one of the most beautiful perches in all of sports, where we are right now. This is an outrageously gorgeous vista.
There's an actual plate of perch here in front of us.
It's incredible. And it's fried, and it's very good. And they've left the malt vinegar. Is that Zach's malt vinegar that he's left behind? What
and
a nice touch.
Bernstein brought it here.
You wrote
it today.
Mike. Yeah, he called you in the middle of the show. But, I mean, we had a glorious day with the listeners in the suite, in the Odyssey suite. We had the Odyssey to bring those listeners, excuse me, we had the audacity to bring those listeners here.
Today. It was such a nice day. Like, why'd you have to do
this? Did it really? In the suite earlier today.
I was watching, no, that was Porth. Porth did
that was, yeah. That took the cap. Yeah.
I was watching the game with our listeners, with Bobby and Nick right there in the front row of the suite, and those guys were marveling at the electricity in the crowd, down 5-1 in the eighth inning. This place is begging for decent baseball. It's just begging and pleading for decent baseball. Good baseball makes this place unbelievable. Great baseball, you feel like you're on another planet. But it's like the crowd comes and is dying for good baseball and just does not get it. But the thing is, they're going to come again tomorrow. It's kind of
careful.
Breaking news on the score.
Like Bobby and Nick, I was also marveling that this place has electricity. That's so wild. That they
hey man,
the same
so
there's
old.
No way.
After this morning and all the flights getting canceled.
That's true.
After the blue screen of death.
Yeah, the hack.
You know.
God.
Stop calling me a hack. I'm right here.
All right, serious question. People give the White Sox Stadium so much crap for not facing the skyline.
Yeah.
I don't see a skyline. I see some retiree skyscraper apartment buildings. Why can't Wrigley face the skyline?
You see the lake?
Yeah, you can see the lake from there.
Dude,
it's pretty
you can
cool.
see like 4 square feet of the lake.
Mm. Okay.
You all can right. barely see it. Face the skyline.
You can see the lake.
Is there wind tunnels here too?
That was a nice try. That was a nice try. You
know? Okay.
We are at
Let's talk about what's been going on behind the scenes in Chicago.
We are.
Oh, wait. Nope. Let's not talk about it.
Oh, delete.
Delete.
Delete. Delete. Delete. Delete.
Delete.
Bomb squad.
End it.
Meet Ron Coomer from 7 to 8:30 tonight at his restaurant, Coom's Corner in Lockport. Coom will meet fans, sign autographs, give away memorabilia, and more. It's all brought to you by BetMGM, the king of sports books. All the big talkers today at Hallis Hall. Feels like a good time to bring on Mr. Moby Ditka himself, Mark Grody, who joins us live from Hallis Hall on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. And Grody is hosting Training Camp Live from 6 to 7, right when we are done. Bears Training Camp coverage presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. We'll do two segments with Grody. Grody, how are you, sir?
Good. The music sounds better than ever. Sounds fresh. Bears training camp, gentlemen, is open. Mostly just meetings today. They did do the fitness testing at about 2 o'clock this afternoon out here at Hallis Hall. The first actual practice is tomorrow, but the stage is literally set. As I drove in today, all the tents were being assembled for when they have the public practices, and the stands are looking all good. The fields are all manicured, so they are ready to go out here for Bears training camp. And yes, like you said, Danny, a lot of people talking today, including Caleb Williams and DJ Moore and Roma Dunze and Matt Eberflus. We're going to hear from them all, but let's start with the boss, because Ryan Poles is the one who put this thing together. And I'm going to start where Ryan Poles kind of offered to begin, because he does his little monologue at the beginning, does the Bears general manager. And he's been hearing us. He's been hearing us talking about the need for an edge rusher on this team. We've been talking about it forever. You've got Montez Sweat. Who do you have on the other side right now that is proven? Nobody. But here's what Ryan Poles was saying about edge rusher today.
One topic of the defensive end position has popped up multiple times. Listen, it's our, in the front office, our job to look at every option that's out there to improve our football team. We feel really comfortable with the guys that we have on our roster now, and I'm excited. We're both excited to see Travis and Eric really put their hands on those guys and develop them as we go through the beginning of training camp. But we will always have our eyes, you know, on the list of players that we could potentially bring in.
What do you need for a fit there? Are you waiting for prices to come down? Are there people on the market that intrigue you, or do you want to see whether some of them shake free closer to cut day?
Yeah, I don't really see it as a defensive end problem. It's our mindset is always how can we make a position group the best we can possibly make it and deep as we possibly can make it. So it's like I said, just really leaning on Travis and Eric to continue to develop the players that we have in and see, especially when we get pads on, see how they do. We saw some really encouraging things during OTAs, but we all know this game is played in full pads, so we want to see that process through.
So that's Eric Washington, who's the defensive coordinator under Matt Eberflus, not going to be calling the plays, known as a defensive line specialist there. And then I don't remember Travis's last name, but he's the actual
Travis Smith.
Travis Smith. Yeah, the defensive line coach. Thank you.
He's an actual guy, is what you're going to say? It's a big year for those guys.
It's a huge year for them, because not only for it's a position that doesn't have depth, but also for the guys that they've invested in Dexter and Pickens. The answer, probably though, the truth is like 1 year deals. You know, like some of the veterans they always hope for to get multiple year deals or multiple year money commitments, and then eventually they'll concede and say, okay, I'll sign a 1 year deal. So
Yannick Ngakoue got along with everyone last year. And even if you as a fan or us as media were underwhelmed with the production, they thought the motor was good and they thought the character was good. I think there's a lot of people who think that's inevitable once his price goes down. Groats, is that your vibe out there?
Yeah, probably. You know, Poles was asked about that and the price coming down and all that. And, you know, he continues to say that they like what they have. But I'm pretty sure if we went back, and I probably could go back and see. He was saying similar things last year that they, oh, we like what we have. We like Dominique Robinson. We like DeMarcus Walker. And until they brought in Yannick Ngakoue. Now, Ngakoue, I don't know where he is, like in terms of his health, in terms of his career, where he is, in terms of how much does he have left in the tank. You know, last year did seem like an odd year for him. He was injured at the end of the year, but even when he wasn't hurt, he really wasn't getting to the quarterback. But for whatever it's worth, you know, Ngakoue, when you look at his career, he's had, you know, between 8 and 10 sacks just about every right. year. But it seems speaks kind of... like, is that really the only name? Like, if Yannick Ngakoue is the best you can do, I kind of understand where Poles is coming from because I don't know that that necessarily is the answer. I don't know if the answer is in free agency right now.
Yeah, there's an – I mean, Emmanuel Ogba is also out there. But then, you know, other guys might get cut during camp or towards the end of camp. But, Grogan, yeah. can we back yeah. up before we get to other specifics? How are the vibes, man? Because the vibes the vibes up there, I wonder if they're as good as the vibes are everywhere we go here at the ballpark today. Boy, yeah, you guys have a rough go, right? A lot of bad sports teams. But the Bears, I think, are going to be pretty good. I think I had that that conversation with like four different people today.
Yeah, it's yeah, the conversation I have.
I'm going to have it with hey, you the next 3 weeks.
That's what I'm saying.
What's a Bears hit or a day without a vibes question from Matt Spiegel? I mean, yeah. it's he is all about the vibes, man.
Thanks, Ben.
I'll tell you what, Speaks. I think that we're going to get a better idea of the vibes tomorrow when they actually get out there and practice. I mean, everything is very positive today. You know, everybody seemed like they were in a good mood. They were ready to go and all that. But I don't know if this really moved me today beyond what they've done in the OTAs and stuff. I think we're going to have to start to see the actual practices and see what they're saying after those before we get it. But, of course, on the overall, this is the time to be excited and be optimistic about what's on this roster, especially relative to what Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus were giving us for the first 2 years of this regime.
All right, let's keep it moving. And man, two cuts and we're not talking about the quarterback yet. That's annoying.
Because the edge rush is a question and offensive line is a question, Danny.
We're building, right. These are opening acts, Danny. You know, we got to build up to it a little bit.
Okay, fine.
You know? Groats, yeah. I asked you in text if this was the cut I was thinking of from Ryan Poles, and you assure me that it is because there's a notable omission in this answer, isn't there?
Yeah, everybody seems to all of a sudden be worried about the offensive line. And here was Ryan Poles discussing his front five.
I feel really good about the offensive line. Obviously, we're excited to see Darnell take the next step. I know he has the opportunity to be pretty special. Braxton's coming along and continuing to get better. And then we have, you know, with Bates and Coleman, you know, competing inside, I think there's opportunity that we can be really talented and deep. And one of the kind of tough things we've had to deal with the first 2 years is just a lack of depth and not enough versatility to really create the best five from week one all the way to the very end of the season. So we're happy with that group, but obviously they got to continue to work, get better, and again, build that chemistry together.
All right, well, my bad. He doesn't mention Tevin either. So, because I heard no Nate Davis this morning as I was listening live, I heard no Nate Davis, and it was jarring to me, but he doesn't mention Tevin either.
Either guard.
Yeah, he mentions the two new centers.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it got to the point, too, at the end where I was trying to get a question in, and I will ask Matt Eberflus this question tomorrow since I wasn't able to get it off the polls and nobody else today, as far as I heard, asked about that Nate Davis speaks. I mean, it's still good to bring him up because I do think he's still a bit of a mystery. I don't know if he is healthy. He was injured some in the offseason stuff. And then I mean, we're going to find out what his desire is in terms of practicing. And they, you know, Matt Eberflus gave indications that it's not a slam dunk that he's the starting right guard. But I'm going to find more about that tomorrow.
What do we got from the Flus?
Yeah, here we go. All right, Parkins, we're starting to build up to the Caleb talk here. And this is funny. So today they had pairs of people up there today. For instance, Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus were taking questions together at the podium. And I asked specifically, I said to Ryan Poles, I said, Ryan, what about Caleb Williams' development? And watch Matt Eberflus with the interception of my question.
I'll take that one. So really the level up, you know, for him in the summer is really, he's done a really good job with that, studying. You know, Shane and those guys put together a really good program for him to be able to study and level up that way. And, you know, we're looking for improvement every single, you know, I just texted him, you know, just a couple minutes ago about, you know, looking for improvement from the first practice to the fourth practice. We'll take a day off and then we'll assess where he is. And then we're going to do the same thing again for the next stack of practices. And if we look back and then we get to the 50 days and we're at the opener, he's going to be from here. He's going to be all the way here. So the concepts were there in the summer. Did a nice job of learning those formations, motions, everything that we ask him to do. And he's going to level up from there and keep doing that during camp.
Seems pretty basic. Seems pretty football-y.
He's level up, guys. Get ready to hear level up. That's new to me, the level up thing.
Stack of practices.
Yeah, it's gonna be another year of listening to the defensive head coach talk quarterback play and wondering how much we're actually going to learn and going to get. And it might be trickier still for this quarterback and this coach in this training camp. You know what I mean? Because I want to get so deep in the weeds. I'm ready to get so deep in the weeds on the quarterback play. And I don't know if Matt Eberflus is my guy.
I'm sure that he is.
Yeah, well, for whatever it's worth, guys, I can tell you to answer that specific part of it, guys.
Yeah.
I can tell you that Matt Eberflus didn't have much to do with the Bears offense when it was Justin Fields and in the first 2 years. Yes, he's in charge. Matt Eberflus is the boss of both sides of the baseball, but he wasn't a big part of the teachings on offense in his first 2 years, and I don't expect that to be the case with Caleb Williams either.
It's up to Shane and Chris.
That's right. Shane and Chris.
Isn't it always up to those guys?
It's always up to those guys. Our success depends on it. We're going to hear from all the players coming up, Grody. Caleb Williams, Cole Kmet, DJ Moore, Roma Dunze. We got more with Mark Grody from day one at Halas Hall on the Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
The afternoon show, the police of 670, the Score.
Afternoons on the Score.
We are at Wrigley Field. Mark Grody is at Halas Hall. Grody will be hosting after us at 6 o'clock tonight. You can see Ron Coomer at Coombs Corner in Lockport tonight from 7 to 8:30. That's brought to you by BetMGM. Let's continue with this Bears report. We got a lot to get to.
I heard that Ron Coomer is going to have a guy making cigars, rolling cigars tonight at Coombs Corner.
Oh,
come on.
I mean, he's a 10.
Let's go.
Grody, let's get to Caleb and the players.
Yeah, we will start with QB1, Caleb Williams here today. I would just say as an observation, he seemed a little bit more reserved today, a little bit more serious, and maybe that's because it's starting to get more serious, but we asked him about his idea of development.
Caleb, I know that they're not going to throw everything at you right away in this camp.
Yep.
It'll be a process, as your head coach was talking about, but how quickly do you want it? How quickly do you want to begin to establish, for instance, a downfield passing game and do some of the things that we saw you do at USC?
Yeah. I want to get as fast as possible because it's not just for me, but it's something we have to do throughout games. It's something we have to do throughout practice and keep progressing. And so me being able to grasp everything that I can ultimately just helps the team reach our vision at the end of the season.
How do you stay patient with yourself knowing that there's veterans, though? I mean, Cole and DJ were in here talking about we want to get it going right now and the urgency is there, knowing that you might have a steeper learning curve since you're a rookie.
Yeah,
so you gotta match them.
So I'm not trying to match anyone. That's never the way that I kind of look at things. But I do have people like Cole and DJ that, Cole will correct me when I'm wrong and things like that, whether it's in the huddle, whether we're talking about stuff. Offensive line, we talk constantly about cadence. So it's just trying to get the right rhythm and pace with these guys so we can keep, you know, keep going on that, you know, on the upward trend.
Man, the weird but true thing is that he only really needs to learn all the stuff that they ask him to learn. They could hold some back. If they really want to, they could hold some back.
Yeah, I don't know that it would be like downfield passing though. You know, like you're gonna have to have some of that in there, and it'll just be right. I mean, Grody, in terms of if he shows a mastery of block A, then you move on to block B, and then you move on. You know, he's got to master the basics, and then they keep making it more and more complicated and opening up more and more things.
Yeah, I think that's the idea. Like, they throw it on his plate, and, you know, as Matt Eberflus said, level up, go to the next level, and we're going to be hearing a lot of that. And I am just looking forward to seeing when, or I suppose if technically, we see the full Caleb Williams and everything that we have all seen on tape for the last year and watching his college games, and to see if he's going to get to that point and win because of the quarterback. And I know it's not going to happen right away, and it's not even fair to put that kind of pressure on him right away, but it's definitely something that I am curious about, and I know Caleb would love to blast off too.
So at least he's here. What did he have to say about the contract and all the coverage and conversation that's been going on about it?
Yeah, I'll play some Caleb Williams for you on that contract, and I'll also tell you what Ryan Poles said about it. But, yeah, I mean, he signed his rookie deal, but there may have been some outside-of-the-box ideas for Caleb Williams, and here's how the questioning went on that.
Is there anything else that you'd be willing to share with us in regards to your contract reports that you were trying to establish an LLC, forgivable loans, franchise tax, stuff like that? Is there anything that you would be willing to share with us?
No, not getting into that and all the details of that. You know, we're the ink is dried already, and we're past that point. I know that I appreciate everybody that was going through it all, you know, with myself. So whether it's, you know, us being here until 12 on Sunday and Monday, 12 at night, you know, working through it, and you know, trying to figure out the whole process and how it goes. I definitely learned a lot throughout this process. For the next upcoming ones and things like that. So really excited. Can't wait to get it going. You know, really appreciative of everybody.
As you self-represent, I know the PA has helped guys in your situation before through contracts. What resources did they offer you? What involvement did they have in this for you?
Yeah, I think the NFL, I think the Bears used the NFL a little bit more than my team. You know, we just use what the NFL has provided, CBA and all of that stuff, and, you know, all the rules, and just trying to make sure we fit in with all of that. And then also the Bears doing the same thing and using NFL and, you know, all coming together and trying to, you know, make this thing happen, you know, get to, you know, ink to paper and get it done.
I hear what you're saying about the reserved, almost coy, with a little giggle in there about not
yes.
wanting to discuss.
I thought he sounded exasperated, Speaks. Yeah, a little bit.
Well, he also didn't deny anything.
No.
You know, he's like, yep. was asking, you know, was I learned a lot, you know. We'll see what I can get in the what you can get in the next one. Or he already referred to the next contract, because there are some, you know, like I said, Dak Prescott has a no tag clause in his contract. Guys get no trade clauses in second contracts. There are more things that you can get outside of the restrictions of the rookie contract. So he was trying to get some of those things put in a rookie contract, and he's learning about what he can and cannot get going forward. So he didn't deny any of it.
No, I like the toddler analogy from the other day, Danny. You know, it's like you've been pushing at the boundaries, and he'll get what he can get, and he didn't get that much, but he will probably get more next time he asks. What did Ryan Poles have to say about the contract, Groats?
Yeah, well, he wasn't going to give us any details or confirm anything, but to your guys' point, he Ryan Poles didn't deny anything either, and what he said was, I mean, he seemed unaffected by it. He said, it's very common for different things to be asked for, and he says that in general in contracts it's not surprising, and he said, quote, nothing is shocking. So this was not other than the fact that, and we know from Ryan Poles in the past that it's a pain in the butt to work with a guy who doesn't have an agent. We found that out with Roquan Smith, different situation, but I think that that's something that Ryan Poles is getting used to and probably better at this point. standpoint. But as for the LLC stuff and the fifth-year option and franchise tag and all of that stuff, I don't think that Ryan Poles was taken off guard by any of that or offended by any of that, if that's even the right word at this point.
All right, let's blitz through some of these other things, Grody. We know you got a show coming up at 6.
I got you guys. Yeah, I thought that Cole Komet was great today. This might be my favorite cut of the day. Now, Cole Komet was up at the podium with DJ Moore, so you'll hear DJ Moore's voice first and then Cole Komet. But this is great when Cole Komet was asked about urgency for this season.
With being in a new offense, what's the realistic time frame that you guys can get comfortable in this new system?
Tomorrow?
Yeah, now. Yeah, it's the urgency. It's we got to get this thing going quickly. There's not going to be time to kind of meander through this thing. We got to get this thing going quickly here. So we got to operate at a high level. We got to really take advantage of our walkthroughs when we get these things at night. And, you know, the better we are through those things, the faster we'll be able to execute, you know, on game day. But, yeah, it's got to happen quickly.
Love
That's
it.
Awesome. No excuses.
Winning time. Winning time and a whole bunch of vets who know what they're doing. That's great.
Oh, yeah, the vets, man. Vets talking like that. Yo, we're here to win. Even like Cole Komet heading into his fifth year.
Yep.
He's ready to freaking win with this franchise. Yeah. Lord knows DJ Moore is.
Yeah, they haven't won and they're in their prime. They're not old.
Yes, like
they're all in their prime and looking for, you know, one more big contract and a big season in a winning season. So yeah, that's good stuff. What about DJ Moore and his assessment of the QB?
Yeah, he was asked what stood out about Caleb Williams.
Straight off the back, he's just a leader. He took control of the huddle. His arm talent was amazing. I think that's what stood out to everybody. And him trying to make all those throws this offseason and OTAs was like, dang, he really just made that, or he just did that on the run, and it was amazing to see. And I'm looking forward to seeing it in full speed against the defense with pads and stuff. So I'm looking forward to it.
Jay mentioned that there was Caleb's doing some eye-opening things on the practice field. Does he look different from other rookies that you've seen or played with or developing quarterbacks? Is there kind of a wow, this guy's ahead of things, or is he like any other rookie?
You could say he's ahead of things in the OTA aspect, yeah. But when we get out there in live action, we're gonna really see the expectations and how everything flows, if it transfer over or if he's going to have those rookie curves that he got to overcome. So I'm looking forward to it and seeing how he attacks it and goes about it.
So before he talked about throws on the run, did he say his on time was excellent? Is that what he said, his on time?
Arm talent.
Yeah, that's what.
Arm talent. That's what it was. Arm talent. Okay. Couldn't tell if it was arm talent or on time.
Right, I heard arm talent.
Okay.
Is what he was saying.
I heard on time as if that was a thing in terms of throwing on time, like his on schedule stuff. But maybe I'm just
hearing
what I really want to hear.
I like them both.
Yeah,
I like them both, though.
His arm talent on time was good. All right. Good talk.
He's gonna have rookie moments, but he's gonna make big plays. Like he's not gonna stop being himself just because he's at this level. What about the other top 10 draft pick?
Yeah, that'd be Rome Odunze, and you know he's gonna have his rookie growing pains as well. But I thought it was a good question to him in terms of how he establishes himself in this veteran laden wide receiver room led by DJ Moore and Keenan Allen.
I think it's, you know, a challenge, you know, coming in as a rookie, having, you know, vets like, you know, Keenan and DJ already in the room, having established themselves in the league for many years at this point. But mindset coming in is being the best, you know, being the best in the room. And I think that's the mindset of everybody in the room. And I think that's the way it should be. You know what I mean? All of us trying to be the best in that room creates a competitive and friendly environment for all of us to thrive, you know, and we're you know, achieving those type of goals. We allow ourselves to, you know, be options for him out there on the field. So I think it's important for a wide receiver to have that mentality to be the best, you know, in his room and collectively, as I did kind of back at my college, when we all have that mindset, we all kind of thrive together. It is possible.
See, that's awesome. When I hear about, you know, teammates at the same position competing with each other, I, of course, think of Smoltz and Maddox and Glavin. That's
yeah.
Right. Yeah. As you do.
I mean, I think these guys should be more successful than them.
I think so, right?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I don't know. They only won one World Series with that group. So
14 you know. Straight divisions, Greg.
Yeah, but I mean, Keenan Allen's only going to be here 1 year. So 1 year, one Super Bowl,
sure.
And then they can move on to more Super Bowls without him.
All right. Sorry I took it to baseball, but we're live at Wrigley.
That's true. All right. What's the Fluce up to?
All right, the Fluce up. The Fluce was the Fluce might have been the most personable guy today, and really? And the Fluce, he got up there at the podium. I'm going to play right from the beginning for you guys, but he was talking about a pool party he had, and it was, let's just put it this way, the pool party he had, and you'll hear it from the Fluce, well-staffed. Here's the Fluce today.
How's everybody doing? Good. You guys have a good summer? Yeah, it was. It was short. So we started off on Monday. I brought the staff, coaches, and their families, executives, and the head staff members over to the house. We have a welcome back party every single year. And I think I counted 18 kids in the pool at one time. I mean, and yes, I did have a lifeguard. There was a lifeguard on duty, so it was good. But we had a good time, a lot of good food, and a lot of good fun. A lot of good laughs. So that was really cool.
I'd like to think about that all weekend. Like all of the staff, the coaching staff, and everybody, and 18 kids of the coaches
in the lifeguard.
Pool at the same time, and a lifeguard on duty. I'm picturing the Sandlot. Picturing that scene from the Sandlot. A
little Wendy Peppercorn action. Yeah.
Oh man,
that's amazing. And what a host, the Fluce.
The Fluce. Yeah, you're the big boss. Got to have people over to the pool.
That's right. That's right.
I hope those kids had a healthy respect for the water.
They need to. All right, Grody, we'll be listening at 6 o'clock, man, unless you have any must-have Bears nuggets today.
Other than the Training Camp Live will feature brand new audio. We will have fresh audio for the 6 p.m. hour. And for people who want to know, because I know everybody wants to know this, first padded practice a week from tomorrow. So a week from tomorrow, Saturday. That's all I got for now, guys. Well, I'll add the rest at 6 o'clock.
Hey, man, that's a great job by you, though, doing all that audio with us, and then you got brand new stuff at 6 o'clock. Great work, Grody.
That's right. Keeping it fresh. Thanks, Speaks. Bye, guys.
See you, Grody. That's Mark Grody. He'll come up at 6. We are going to put a bow on this thing from Wrigley. Parkins and Spiegel on the score.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
It's been a long 4 hours.
Afternoons on the score.
That's not accurate.
Yeah, not as much of a long 4 hours as a quick 52 minutes, you know what I mean?
A delightful time in the suite with the listeners. Very cool of Odyssey to do that. And us to be able to hang with the listeners in the suite. That was a fun event.
It was great. They were all there to meet Tanny.
They were.
Yeah. Who's there?
Obviously, yeah.
Yeah. Big Dom. You got to meet Big Dom.
Saw Big Dom.
Ashley.
And her dad.
Scott, right?
Skizot.
No. I think Scott's the dad.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I thought Skizot was her dad.
No, he also goes by Skizot.
Yeah. There were two Skizots
senior.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was hanging with Bobby and Nick.
Bobby and Nick were there in the Cubs jerseys. It was nice. A couple of people came up and said, you know, they were first time in a suite, which was very cool. We got to do that with a bunch of mob members.
Who those other guys look like they maybe were CIA?
clients.
Yeah.
The two older guys were clients.
No, not the older guys. The younger guys. Very tall guys.
That's Big Dom.
That was Big Dom.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to meet Big Dom.
Big Dom.
He's very big.
And then his friend, I forget his name, but yeah.
Little Dom.
Yeah, Little Dom. Yeah.
That's why we had called the other one Big.
Yeah, right. Couple of Doms.
I do love that Big Dom came up and introduced himself as Big Dom.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Big Dom. Of course you are.
We made a thing about it on the air, so he was, you know, playing to the crowd. But that was fun, man. We need to do that stuff more often. Odyssey needs to give us the suite. More often.
I'd like to compliment them on their choice to give us the suite.
For all the listeners, don't you think that should happen?
Yeah, that's why we haven't been doing it often, because we didn't ask.
Yeah,
that's definitely why.
Yeah. That's the only reason. It was the asking part.
It's a big Wrigley homestand for a lot of us here. I'm going tomorrow night with Christine and with Emma, and I know you're going on Sunday with Jack, right?
Yeah, doing a whole day, like a city day for like a graduation present before he gets ready to go off to college and move. So doing the Cubs game and then going to Bevette's at night.
Oh, schmancy.
Take him to the big steakhouse, doing the whole thing.
Yeah, so, very nice. Next week, for the Brewers series, we're on the field on Tuesday.
Playing in the game.
Yeah.
they needed some run production tonight.
You know, that probably might have had a better at-bat than Miles Mastroboni.
I mean, you
see,
I can't say that anymore.
Why not?
After we do batting practice, I was talking about it with our big boss, Kevin, who we did batting practice with. I'm like, listen, if they strike out, I can say something because I at least did some dribblers back to the pitcher. But
I wasn't at my best.
Hitting
that
a baseball
day.
Is hard.
I wasn't at my best that day. You know?
Oh, it was the day. It was the day.
I think Tuesday. Okay. If I get
against
in the game
Brewers.
On Tuesday,
it was hot that day, right?
Thank you, Shane.
Small sample size.
Yeah, I wasn't
you know,
even here, but I bet it was hot.
It was a
was
small sample size.
One day.
It's true. It's
just
one day.
Just one day.
I got two times up there. What, like 8 pitches each time? That's not enough.
Yeah.
You don't know what I could do against real big league heat.
No. Hey, you got 40-mile-an-hour tosses from 40 feet away with a metal bat.
Yeah, I did.
I'm sure with a wood bat against big league pitching, you would be better.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, me too.
Appreciate
me
that.
Too.
The faster the ball comes in, the faster it goes out.
You have to do less. You have to do less with
well,
it.
Well, that's not necessarily it.
Okay. Hey, Nico took your advice today.
He went to the right side.
Yeah.
Yeah, can't wait to talk to him about it on Tuesday.
He hit a bunch of lasers, actually,
hey,
Nico
good.
Today, including a line out. Yeah, Nico's not the problem.
No.
It's everyone else.
There's a lot of problems.
a lot of problems.
Very far down on the list. Thank you to Paul Zerang here, doing an excellent job as always. Best in the business. Thank you to Tyler Buterbaugh back in the shop. Mark Grody, our guest today.
By the way, I'll be on Sunday, hit and run Sunday morning. Pitching Ninja going to join the show on Sunday. And Bob Brenly will walk on down the hall from the Diamondbacks broadcast crew.
That's excellent. Thank you to our executive producer, Shane Reardon, Chris Tannehill, helping make us sound better than we are each and every day. Thanks to all the mob members who won the contest and came out to the game with us. Mark Grody is coming up next from Hallis Hall. And if you're in the Lockport area, go to Coombs Corner tonight from 7 to 8:30. Ron Coomer will be there. For Matt Spiegel, I'm Danny Parkins. We are Parkins and Spiegel. This is The Score.
That's radio, right? You know. I mean, whatever. They tried. Didn't go over well. All good.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
It's been a long 4 hours.
Afternoons on The Score.
That's not accurate.
Yeah, not as much of a long 4 hours as a quick 52 minutes, you know what I mean?
A delightful time in the suite with the listeners. Very cool of Odyssey to do that, and us to be able to hang with the listeners in the suite. That was a fun event.
It was great. They were all there to meet Tanny.
They were.
Yeah, who's there?
Obviously, yeah.
Yeah. Big Dom. You got to meet Big Dom.
Saw Big Dom.
Ashley.
And her dad.
Scott, right?
Skizot.
No. I think Scott's the dad.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I thought Skizot was her dad.
No, he also goes by Skizot.
Yeah. There were two Skizots
Skizot senior.
There.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was hanging with Bobby and Nick.
Bobby and Nick were there in the Cubs jerseys. It was nice. A couple of people came up and said, you know, their first time in a suite, which was very cool. Got to do that with a bunch of mob members.
Who those other guys look like they were CIA?
clients.
Yeah.
The two older guys were clients.
No, not the older guys. The younger guys. Very tall guys.
That's Big Dom.
That
was Big Dom. Yeah, I didn't get a chance to meet Big Dom.
Big Dom.
He's very big.
And then his friend, I forget his name, but yeah.
Little Dom.
Yeah, Little Dom. Yeah.
That's why we had to call the other one Big.
Yeah, right. Couple of Doms.
I do love that Big Dom came up and introduced himself as Big Dom.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Big Dom. Of course you are.
We made a thing about it on the air, so he was, you know, playing to the crowd. But that was fun, man. We need to do that stuff more often. Odyssey needs to give us the suite more often.
I'd like to compliment them on their choice to give us the suite.
For all the listeners, don't you think that should happen?
Yeah, that's
more
why
often?
We haven't been doing it often, because we didn't ask. Yeah, that's definitely why.
Yeah, that's the only reason. It was the asking part.
It's a big Wrigley homestand for a lot of us here. I'm going tomorrow night with Christine and with Emma, and I know you're going on Sunday with Jack, right?
Yeah, doing a whole day, like a city day for like a graduation present before he gets ready to go off to college and move. So doing the Cubs game and then going to Bevette's at night.
Oh, schmancy.
Take him to the big steakhouse, doing the whole thing.
Yeah, so, very nice. And then next week, for the Brewers series, we're on the field on Tuesday.
Playing in the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They needed some run production today.
You know, that probably might have had a better at-bat than Miles Mastroboni.
I mean, you
see,
Nico,
I can't
right
say that
today.
Anymore.
Why not?
After we do batting practice, I was talking about it with our big boss, Kevin, who we did batting practice with. I'm like, listen, if they strike out, I can say something because I at least did some dribblers back to the pitcher. But
I wasn't at my best.
Hitting
that
a baseball
day.
Is hard.
I wasn't at my best that day. You know?
Oh, it was the day. It was the day.
I think Tuesday. Okay. If I
against
get in
the
game
Brewers.
On Tuesday,
it was hot that day, right?
Thank you, Shane.
Small sample size.
Yeah, I wasn't
you know,
even here, but I bet it was hot.
It was a
was
small sample size.
One day.
It's true. It's one day.
Just one game.
I got two times up there. What, like eight pitches each time? That's not enough.
Yeah.
You don't know what I could do against real big league heat.
No. Hey, you got 40-mile-an-hour tosses from 40 feet away with a metal bat.
Yeah, I did.
I'm sure with a wood bat against big league pitching, you would be better.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, me too.
Appreciate
me
that.
The faster the ball comes in, the faster it goes out.
You have to do less. You have to do less with
well,
it.
Well, that's not necessarily it.
Okay. Hey, Nico took your advice today.
He went to the right side.
Yeah.
Yeah, can't wait to talk to him about it on Tuesday.
He hit a bunch of lasers, actually,
hey,
Nico
good.
Today, including a line out. Yeah, Nico's not the problem.
Right no.
It's everyone else.
There's a lot of problems.
A lot
He's
of problems.
Very far down on the list. Thank you to Paul Zerang here, doing an excellent job as always. Best in the business. Thank you to Tyler Buterbaugh back in the shop. Mark Grody, our guest today.
By the way, I'll be on Sunday, hit and run Sunday morning. Pitching Ninja going to join the show on Sunday. And Bob Brenly will walk on down the hall from the Diamondbacks broadcast crew.
That's excellent. Thank you to our executive producer, Shane Reardon, Chris Tannehill, helping make us sound better than we are each and every day. Thanks to all the mob members who won the contest and came out to the game with us. Mark Grody is coming up next from Hallis Hall. And if you're in the Lockport area, go to Coombs Corner tonight from 7 to 8:30. Ron Coomer will be there. For Matt Spiegel, I'm Danny Parkins. We are Parkins and Spiegel. This is The Score.
That's radio, right? You know. I mean, whatever. They tried. Didn't go over well. All good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.